Zadanie pierwsze. Przeczytaj polecenie i zapoznaj się z treścią zadania do tekstu pierwszego.
Text 1.
Recent studies show that office workers spend almost a third of their workday reading and responding to electronic mail. In today's digital world, we're often expected to be reachable by email or social media at all times. This is simply stressful, and it may be bad for our health. So why are we allowing this unsatisfactory situation to continue? Well, apparently, many of us are addicted. Checking email activates a primal impulse in our brains to seek out what behavioural psychologists call random rewards. Imagine your email inbox as a slot machine. Most of the time when we pull the lever to check our messages, we get something bothersome, a complaint from a client or another task from our boss. But every once in a while we get something that brings a smile to our face, such as a note from a friend or a funny video. It's those random rewards that we find so addictive. However, those messages which cheer us up may not be the only reason for checking our email so often. Many of us feel anxious when our inboxes are packed, so we try to answer as many emails as possible immediately. But an empty inbox is an ideal that can rarely be achieved. Just when you think you've replied to the last message, ping, a new one rolls in. So we must adopt a more realistic approach. Just like in many other areas of life, we have to choose what to deal with and what to ignore. When we try to do too many things at the same time, we only end up feeling frustrated. To survive, we must set priorities.
Wysłuchaj nagrania jeszcze raz.
Recent studies show that office workers spend almost a third of their workday reading and responding to electronic mail. In today's digital world, we're often expected to be reachable by email or social media at all times. This is simply stressful, and it may be bad for our health. So why are we allowing this unsatisfactory situation to continue? Well, apparently, many of us are addicted. Checking email activates a primal impulse in our brains to seek out what behavioural psychologists call random rewards. Imagine your email inbox as a slot machine. Most of the time when we pull the lever to check our messages, we get something bothersome, a complaint from a client or another task from our boss. But every once in a while we get something that brings a smile to our face, such as a note from a friend or a funny video. It's those random rewards that we find so addictive. However, those messages which cheer us up may not be the only reason for checking our email so often. Many of us feel anxious when our inboxes are packed, so we try to answer as many emails as possible immediately. But an empty inbox is an ideal that can rarely be achieved. Just when you think you've replied to the last message, ping, a new one rolls in. So we must adopt a more realistic approach. Just like in many other areas of life, we have to choose what to deal with and what to ignore. When we try to do too many things at the same time, we only end up feeling frustrated. To survive, we must set priorities.
Zapoznaj się z treścią zadania do tekstu drugiego.
Text 2.
Today I'm pleased to have the British astronaut, Major Timothy Peake, here in the studio to talk about his time in space. Tim, did you always want to be an astronaut?
When I was young, I knew I wanted to be a pilot. But I never imagined I would be an astronaut. My father had always been interested in aviation, so from an early age, I used to go to air shows with him. That's when my fascination with flying began. After leaving school, I went to the Royal Military Academy in Sandhurst, and I graduated in 1992. Later that same year, I got my pilot's license and started flying army helicopters.
How did it happen that you became an astronaut?
Well, one day I saw an online advertisement for the European Space Agency. They were looking for people to work on their space missions, and I decided to apply. As well as being an experienced pilot, I also had a university degree and I was healthy and in shape, so I met the main criteria and was admitted to the astronaut training program.
This was in 2009, wasn't it?
Yes, that's right. And I was really lucky. About 8,000 people applied for just 6 places.
In 2015, you took part in a space mission. Please tell us about it.
For 6 months, my job was to run important experiments on board the International Space Station, for example, on the Earth's climate. Researchers also carried out tests on me. For instance, they studied my sleep patterns to learn how humans adapt to life without normal daylight. I think the highlight for me was when I went on a spacewalk to repair the station's power supply.
It's difficult to imagine the intensity of the experience. Can you describe it?
It was incredible. Of course, there was a lot of nervousness beforehand. I was constantly going up to the window and trying to visualize myself performing my assigned tasks in space. You've got to have a lot of concentration so as not to make a mistake, because the scope for human error is enormous. Just before leaving the spaceship, I started to have serious doubts, but it was too late to back out. But when I finally found myself in space, I saw the universe stretching out to infinity and the Earth passing by beneath. I felt ready for the adventure.
Fantastic. Well, Tim, thank you for telling us about your amazing experience.
Wysłuchaj nagrania jeszcze raz.
Today I'm pleased to have the British astronaut, Major Timothy Peake, here in the studio to talk about his time in space. Tim, did you always want to be an astronaut?
When I was young, I knew I wanted to be a pilot, but I never imagined I would be an astronaut. My father had always been interested in aviation, so from an early age, I used to go to air shows with him. That's when my fascination with flying began. After leaving school, I went to the Royal Military Academy in Sandhurst, and I graduated in 1992. Later that same year, I got my pilot's license and started flying army helicopters.
How did it happen that you became an astronaut?
Well, one day I saw an online advertisement for the European Space Agency. They were looking for people to work on their space missions, and I decided to apply. As well as being an experienced pilot, I also had a university degree and I was healthy and in shape, so I met the main criteria and was admitted to the astronaut training program.
This was in 2009, wasn't it?
Yes, that's right. And I was really lucky. About 8,000 people applied for just 6 places.
In 2015, you took part in a space mission. Please tell us about it.
For 6 months, my job was to run important experiments on board the International Space Station, for example, on the Earth's climate. Researchers also carried out tests on me. For instance, they studied my sleep patterns to learn how humans adapt to life without normal daylight. I think the highlight for me was when I went on a spacewalk to repair the station's power supply.
It's difficult to imagine the intensity of the experience. Can you describe it?
It was incredible. Of course, there was a lot of nervousness beforehand. I was constantly going up to the window and trying to visualize myself performing my assigned tasks in space. You've got to have a lot of concentration so as not to make a mistake, because the scope for human error is enormous. Just before leaving the spaceship, I started to have serious doubts, but it was too late to back out. But when I finally found myself in space, I saw the universe stretching out to infinity and the Earth passing by beneath. I felt ready for the adventure.
Fantastic. Well, Tim, thank you for telling us about your amazing experience.